We present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
There's a lot of confusion in the world today about the leaders of the church and the organization of the church. But you know, the Bible is quite clear on this matter. It's the world that has confused this. And in the Lord's church, we need to follow the Bible. And we're different that way. It's sad to say, but we're different in the sense that we follow the Bible. No creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And so tonight we're going to talk about the fact that the Lord's church is different with regard to its leadership and organization. Point number one tonight is this. Many religions, many denominations of the world have a headquarters on the earth. And the head of their church will be located there at those headquarters. Springfield, Missouri. Salt Lake City, Utah. Independence, Missouri. Anderson, Indiana. Cleveland, Tennessee. Rome, Italy. A sincere person might very legitimately ask the question, where's the headquarters of the Church of Christ? But you see, the Lord's church is different in this respect. We don't have an earthly headquarters. And the reason we don't have an earthly headquarters is because we don't have an earthly head. We don't have someone who presides universally over the church. We don't have a pope. We don't have a presiding bishop or an ecclesiastical synod or a council or a convention who makes rules and legislates decisions for the Church of Christ. And since we don't have an earthly head, we don't have an earthly headquarters. Think about it this way. What if someone were to ask you, where is the headquarters of Russia? What would you say? You say, well, it's Moscow. Moscow is the headquarters of Russia. Why is that? You say, well, that's because that's where the head is. That's where Vladimir Putin is located. He is the head of Russia, and that's their headquarters. What if someone said, what is the headquarters of the United States? You say, well, I guess it'd be Washington, D.C., because that's where the president is, and that's where the Congress is. That's where the head is. What is the headquarters of the Church of Christ? And the answer is going to be the same. It's going to be where the head resides. Now we ask the question, where does our head reside? Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 tells us that the Lord's church, or the head of the Lord's church, is Christ. It says, and He is the head of the body, the church. Now the question then we have to answer is, where is Christ? If we know where Christ is, we'll know where our head is, and we'll know where our headquarters are located. 1 Peter chapter 3, 21 and 22, it was read in the scripture reading just a moment ago, says that Jesus has gone into heaven and is set down on the right hand of God. And so we can truthfully say, not facetiously, but we truthfully say that the headquarters of the Church of Christ is in heaven. Philippians 3:20 says our citizenship is in heaven. We don't have a universal ruler on this earth. We don't have a council that will meet from time to time and say, you know, we're going to change our rules with regard to this, and then they send it out to all of the congregations all over the world, and they change their legislation with regard to this. We don't have anything like that. God didn't set it up that way, and we are obligated to do it the way He said. All right, here's the second point I want you to get with regard to the basics of our organization. The word church is spoken of in two different senses in the Bible. It is spoken of in the universal sense, and it is spoken of in the local sense. Now, first, in the universal sense. When the Bible uses the word church in the universal sense, it means all of the churches that belong to Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. He didn't have any local specific group in mind. He meant all of the folks who are part of His church. Ephesians 5:23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church. This means universal, all of the congregations of the Church of Christ all over the world. Now, we have already observed that in the universal sense, Christ is the only head. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. All authority belongs to Him. He's the only one who can make laws, and He doesn't change them. You know, we see folks in the religious world periodically. They'll get together at the Baptist convention or whatever convention their particular denomination has, and they will consider something like, should we allow women pastors? Should we have female preachers? And they'll talk about it, and they'll make a decision, and then the decision will be passed around to all of their body. It's not like that in the Church of Christ. We don't have any universal ruler on this earth. In the universal sense, we have no ruler except Christ, and He legislates only through the Bible. Now, there is a second sense in which the word church is used in the Bible, and that is in the local sense. When it's used in the local sense, it refers to a specific congregation of the Church of Christ. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "It is written unto the church of God, which is at Corinth." That is, the congregation of the church, specifically the one that meets at Corinth. Revelation 1 and verse 11 says to John, "The things that you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea." He says, and so you've got one church that's meeting at Laodicea, not a different denomination. It's not a different group. They're all part of the universal church, but the word is used in the local sense. We are the church at North Charleston. They were the church at Laodicea or the church at Corinth. Now, universally, the Lord has no organization for His church. But locally, when the word is used locally, the Lord expects His church to be organized. Now, two things we need to know about that. Number one, in the local church, we should be organized in the sense of having elders who oversee the church. And we should be autonomous. Now, what that means is each congregation controls its own resources. It manages its own affairs. We don't have a convention. We don't have a body of men that meet somewhere in the world and tell us what to do and pass the rules down to us. Each congregation follows the Bible with regard to what's right and what's wrong. And then, when it comes to matters of expediency, the elders make those decisions. That's the way it functions. We don't have the right to tell a congregation across town, this is what you're going to do. We can't tell the St. George Church of Christ, there's this work up here in Nashville, Tennessee, and you need to support that work. They make their own decisions about that. That's the way the Lord has said in the Bible that we are to govern. Now, here's the third point I want you to get. The Lord has established that in each individual congregation, there are to be elders that lead that congregation. Now, several things we need to understand about elders. Elders are not to just be vote takers, even though elders ought to listen to the membership. They ought to get their thoughts about things. But there is a very real sense in which elders are leaders. In fact, the word ruler would apply. The Bible uses the word ruler to talk about elders, not in the sense that they sit on a throne and a lord over God's flock. 1 Peter chapter 5 says that's not it. But there's a real sense in which elders rule. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor." Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves to them because they watch for your souls." There is an idea that has gone around in some congregations. I used to be a member of a congregation that had this idea, at least some of the eldership did, that the elders have no authority except that of their example. They believe that the elders were supposed to be men who set good examples for everyone else, and that's the only sense in which they led. Brethren, that is not true. And if someone tells you that, you take them to the Bible, you take them to 1 Timothy 5:17, Hebrews 13:17, and you take them to task on this. Because the Bible says elders rule in matters of expediency, not just as good examples. Now, the next point, I want to go through some of the words in the Bible that describe elders. I want to go through some Greek words here. I'm not going to spend a long time on this. I know it gets boring sometimes when you talk about Greek words because we speak English. But sometimes understanding these words can be very helpful. Four words I want to go through. The first word is presbyteros. Presbyteros. This is the word most oftentimes used in the Bible to describe elders. It is found, this word presbyteros appears 67 times in your New Testament. 64 of those times, it is translated as elder. Sometimes, it is translated as old man. Sometimes, it's translated as eldest. And so, you've got to look at the context to determine, is this an elder in the sense of the office of an elder, or is the text just describing an old man? The context has to determine it. Now, this word presbyteros is the word that appears in Acts 20 and verse 7 when Paul from Miletus sent to the Ephesian elders and called them together. Now, the word there for the Ephesian elders is the word presbyteros. He called the Ephesian presbyteros. Now, let me read to you what this word means. This is a definition from Strong's Lexicon. This is not something that the Church of Christ has made up. You can go to any Bible bookstore and get a Strong's Lexicon. And this is what the definition for presbyteros is, for elder is. It says, among the Christians, those who presided over the assemblies or the churches. The New Testament uses the word bishops, elders, and presbyters interchangeably. Now that's the definition. It says the word bishop, elder, and presbyter means the same thing. Now, the word elders refer to presbyteros. That is those who preside over the assemblies or the assemblies of the churches. Now, in Acts chapter 20, this is what Paul said to those elders. He said, Acts 20:28, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you, the elders, overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And so a presbyteros is an elder. An elder is an overseer. Now, here's the second word I want to talk about. I want to talk about the Greek word for overseer, because Acts 20:28 says they're the same thing. It's the same group of men. The word for overseer is episkopos. You've probably heard that before. This is the definition of episkopos. An overseer, obviously, a man charged with the duty of seeing, now listen closely to this, seeing that things that are done by others are done rightly. A curator, a guardian, a superintendent, the superintendent, elder, or overseer of a Christian church. And Paul said to the elders, God has made you the overseers. The Greek word is episkopos. All right? We've got presbyteros, that means elders. We've got episkopos, which means overseers. Here's the third word I want you to get, and this is episcope. Episcope. This third word appears in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 where the qualifications of elders are given. The Bible says, and this is a true saying, if any man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. The word here for bishop is episcope. It refers to the exact same office. Episcope, episkopos, presbyteros, elders, bishops, overseers, talking about the same group of men. This is what episcope means. Literally, it means oversight, overseership, office, charge, the office of an elder, the overseer or presiding officer of a Christian church. Exactly the same as these other two. Now, I said there would be four. Let's do one more here. The fourth word is synonymous with these others. It's the same as elder, the same as overseer, the same as bishop. It is the word pastor. Now, the word pastor actually appears in the King James Bible only one time. It's in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. The Bible says, God gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, I know there's a lot of confusion about this word pastor. Who is the pastor in the church? People, the religious world misuses this word so badly. People call here on a regular basis and they say, can I speak to the pastor? Or I'll be talking to someone in the business world and they'll say, I didn't know that you were a pastor. They're very confused about this word. And it's gotten to the point we're scared to use this word. We don't use the word pastor because the denominational world has misused it so much. But pastor's a legitimate term, even though it's been confused. Now, the Greek word for pastor is the word poimen. Now, I want you to listen to this. The word poimen in Greek actually occurs 18 times in the New Testament. 15 of those times it is translated as shepherd with a small s. Twice it is translated as shepherd with a big S, and once it is translated as pastor. So who are the pastors? A synonymous term is shepherd. The shepherds are the pastors. When we talk about the elders, the bishops, the presbyters, the pastors, the overseers, and the shepherds, we are talking about exactly the same group of people. And if you look at the definitions of these words, you will see it is the same group. Poimen is defined this way. The presiding office, the presiding officer, manager, director of any assembly, it is used of the overseers of the Christian assemblies. Now, does that sound familiar? It does. It's the same definition as these others, just a slightly different wording. So the question then is, who are the overseers of the Christian assembly? based on the verses we just talked about? And the answer is the elders of the church. According to Acts 20:28, Paul said to the elders at Miletus, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you the elders, the overseers." And so that means that the pastor of the church is not the preacher of the church. Unless, of course, one of the elders happens to be the preacher. Now, sometimes that happens. It's not the case currently, but it was the case when Brother McWilliams was here. He was one of the elders, which would mean he was one of the bishops. He was one of the pastors of the congregation, and he also happened to be the preacher. He was a preacher and one of the pastors. Now, I say one of the pastors because never in the New Testament do you ever read about a congregation having only one elder. You never read about a congregation having one overseer or one bishop or one pastor. It's always plurality. There are always at least two men involved in this. And so the pastor of a church is an elder of the church. Or I should say the pastors of a church are the elders of a church. Now, occasionally I'll hear a congregation of the Lord's church and they will decide we're just going to refer to our elders as pastors. Scripturally, there's nothing wrong with that. I question the wisdom of it, though, because of the confusion of the denominational world. It's going to require a lot of explanation that maybe it's unnecessary for us to give. But technically, it is a scriptural thing to do. Now, what if a congregation doesn't have anyone qualified to be an elder? Now, somebody might say, well, you just said that the Lord wants each congregation locally to be governed by elders. What if we don't have men who meet the qualifications to be elders? Then it ought to be obvious you can't have elders. But I say it ought to be obvious because what happens oftentimes is sometimes you'll have congregations that will say, well, we don't have any men who are really qualified, but what we're going to do is we're going to pick the most qualified men that we have. You ever known of that happening? We'll pick the most qualified men that we have to be the elders. They're not qualified to be elders if they're just the most qualified. They've got to meet the qualifications. And I'll tell you something. If you install men into the eldership who don't really meet the qualifications, that congregation is going to start on a downward spiral that is going to be disastrous. If they don't meet the qualifications, they haven't met what the Lord expects of them to lead. And it's not going to be a good situation. And it's a lot easier to install a man as an elder than it is to uninstall a man as an elder. Brethren need to be wise about this. If a man doesn't meet the qualifications, or they don't have men who meet the qualifications, at least two of them, then they cannot have elders. But it's true that ideally, God's plan is for congregations to have elders. Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, ordain elders in every city. Acts 14:23, Paul and Barnabas went about and ordained elders in every church. God's plan for the government of the local congregation is to include elders, overseers, presbyters, bishops, pastors. Now, if a congregation doesn't have men qualified to be elders, let me say this. There are basically four situations that could exist. Four circumstances under which a congregation could find itself. They are as follows. Number one, a church could be scripturally organized. Number two, a church could be scripturally unorganized. Number three, a church could be unscripturally organized. And number four, a church could be unscripturally unorganized. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about here. First, a church may be scripturally organized. That is, they're organized, and it's the way the Bible said to do it. It's like Philippians 1 and verse 1, elders and deacons carrying out the duties just like the Bible says. It's scriptural, they're organized. The second possibility is they may be scripturally unorganized. That is, They are doing things the way the Bible says, but they don't have the organization of elders. Now, it may be that you've got a group assembling in a certain place. They are the church of the Lord, but they don't have men qualified to be elders. Are they still the church? Yes. Acts 14:23, ordain elders in every church. It was already the church, even though they didn't have elders. And so they were scripturally unorganized. And so here's a body of the Lord's church. They hope that one day they'll be scripturally organized. They hope one day to be completely scripturally organized, but right now they don't have men who are qualified, and they know the best we can do is to keep working on it. That's scripturally unorganized. Number three, the third possibility is unscripturally organized. That is, we decide we want to be organized, and so we concoct our own scheme. It's not according to the Bible. It's unscriptural, but it's some sort of organization. Maybe we set up a hierarchical structure for the government of the church. It's not in the Bible. Maybe we say that we're going to have a monarchy, or we're going to have a papal system, or we're going to have, you know, we're going to have a pope, or to hit closer home to the Lord's church. Maybe we decide we're going to have a pastor of the church. We don't have the right to do that. It's not scriptural to do that. I have known of some congregations, and they don't have elders, and the preacher runs the show. They'll say, well, we don't have elders, and so the preacher's just going to be the one in charge. They call it evangelistic oversight. Brethren, that's not scriptural. That would be unscripturally organized. They may say, well, we have an organization. The preacher's in charge. It's unscriptural, though. It's unscripturally organized. The fourth possibility is to be unscripturally unorganized. Now, an example of that would be this. Here's a congregation who doesn't have elders, and so they're unorganized. But the reason they don't have elders is we just don't want elders. Like one preacher I heard made the statement. He said, though they had men qualified to be elders, he said, we don't want elders coming in here messing up everything. Now, what do you mean by that? We don't want elders. We have men qualified to be elders. We could be organized. We're just choosing not to be. They are unorganized, and it's unscriptural. Now, we've got to remember, the church doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to us. And so we've got to do things the way the Scriptures say they should be done for the New Testament church. If a congregation doesn't have men who are qualified to be elders, then we ought to be working toward that goal. We ought to be working to develop men with those qualifications. And as a matter of fact, listen to me about this. We need to be thinking about this. We need to be thinking, who do we have that's maybe qualified to be an elder? Or who do we have who's coming up who might be close to developing these qualifications? Or what young people can we be working with to nurture and help them to be qualified to be an elder? The reason I'm stressing this is because oftentimes what happens is congregations sometimes only think about this when something terrible happens and they find themselves without elders. And then they start looking at it and working on it, and they have a mess on their hands because they don't have anyone qualified. They haven't prepared anyone. They haven't thought this out. And now they don't have an eldership. They're not organized. This is something that we have to have a foresight for. We've got to be looking into the future. And the Lord expects us to be preparing men for the eldership, seeking these qualifications, developing these qualifications in those who are younger. Now, I'm going to stop there for now. I'm thinking that as we go through some of these basic sermons, I may go through and talk about the qualifications of elders and deacons. These are basic things that need to be taught in the Lord's church and will help us as we're thinking about developing these qualities in young men as they're coming along. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our desire to do biblical things in biblical ways and to follow faithfully and completely the will of the Lord. And certainly that is true with regard to the gospel plan of salvation. There are many different plans being taught, but still there's only one gospel. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. That one gospel teaches, if a man would be a New Testament Christian, he must hear the gospel, believe it, repent of his sins, confess his faith in Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins.